Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So, I gotta tell you, I love the people I work with. When I say morons, I mean this with all the love and respect in my heart. But I'm thinking that I work with some morons, man, I'll tell you. I mean, this trade, and Willie, I love you. Derek, I love you. Frazier, who's still back there in the back, I love you. But this fakakta trade that Willie, and I'm not going to say Derek wanted to make it because it kind of felt like Derek was on the fence a little bit as far as, you know, the trade with Buffalo was concerned. But then Frazier said that Derek doesn't think Josh Allen is like the quarterback, which is wild to me. And Frazier says that he doesn't think that. I mean, you guys. I think the trade was, and I didn't even see this Bleacher Report story, and I'm not starting on it, but I just, apparently the suggestion for the trade was Buffalo trades 28, 60, 128, and their first next year for 7. And I'm like, that's a terrible trade. Like when Caroline brought that up, I'm like, oh yeah, I was in my car, and I was like, that is a horrendous trade. And then Willie was like, I would do that in a heartbeat. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like they need picks. You know, not every 7th overall pick has worked out. Well, no, duh. But the 7th overall pick gives you a much, 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 much better chance at nabbing an elite player. And I don't know if you guys sit there and think, you know, the reason why the Titans got bad between 2021 and 2023 was because they didn't have David Quessenberry and they didn't have David Long Jr. and they didn't have, if that's why you think they got bad, or if you think they got bad because they traded A.J. Brown. Because my gut tells me that you all think the reason why is because they traded A.J. Brown. And that is what elite players do for your team. And this is where I want to start today. And by the way, let me just throw out there the Preds playoff preview show, 4 o'clock today. Max Herz will be here with me for that. Roman Yossi at 4 o'clock. Andrew Burnett at 4:30. Preds and Vancouver. We're very excited about that. But I want to start on this. I am not here to cry over spilt milk. But the Titans have made a bunch of stupid decisions over the last 2 years. And the line of demarcation for me was when they fired John Robinson in first place at 7-5 in the middle of the 2022 season. You want to fire him at the end of the year, that's fine. I probably wouldn't have done it. I probably would have given him another draft in another year. That's just me. But to fire him in the middle of the season the way they did was so insanely stupid. So insanely stupid that I thought there was an HR issue there, right? Like when he got fired, I'm like, okay, what did this guy do? Did he sexually harass somebody in the office? Was he going to the supply closet and taking too many legal pads home? Because, you know, when you're general manager of a football team, there's a lot of things you could do that get you in trouble. You know, there's a lot of, oh, yeah, he took tickets and blah, blah. Like, there's all kinds of things. And after about a couple days, I found out that wasn't the case. They just fired him because they didn't think he was doing a good job. And I thought, oh, my God. This is what the stupid teams do. This is what the Clevelands do. The teams we laugh at. That's what they, I mean, it's just incomprehensible how stupid that is. But I'm actually going to take it a step further back. Ever since Ryan Tannehill threw the third interception in the Cincinnati playoff game, it feels like every decision the Titans have made has been a bad decision. It really does. I mean, and forget about some of the decisions they've made recently because the jury's out on those. But the A.J. Brown trade was a terrible decision. The decision not to bring back David Quessenberry was a terrible decision. The fact that the Titans didn't give themselves any veteran help on the offensive line in backup roles, a la a Dennis Kelly type player, going into the 2022 season was a terrible decision. Malik Willis as a backup quarterback when it was obvious he wasn't ready was a terrible decision. Firing John Robinson while you were in first place in the middle of the season was a terrible decision. Retaining Todd Downing after the Cincinnati game and that 21 season was a terrible decision. Hiring a general manager and forcing him to work with Mike Vrabel, who clearly, according to The Athletic, didn't want to work with the general manager, was a terrible idea. You know, if Mike Vrabel has made it obvious he doesn't want you to hire this general manager, then you've got a choice to make. Like, you've got a solid choice to make. And I am so tired of all these bad decisions. A guard with the 11th overall pick. And I'm so tired of bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And every time they make one of these bad decisions, they have to explain themselves because nobody else, no other team in the league would do that. Nobody in the league would give Aaron Brewer a second round tender. But Jarrett, our 270-pound center, you don't understand. Nah, I think I got it. And so, I gotta be honest. It is seriously time for the Titans to stop trying to think outside the box. It's time for the Titans to stop trying to think they're smarter than everybody else. And it's time for the Titans just to do the simple thing. And the simple thing for me is to draft an elite player, or I should say an elite prospect. Because, again, I think a lot of these guys fail because of bad coaching, bad situations, bad attitudes, you know, things like that. But they need to draft an elite prospect with the 7th pick in this year's draft. You want to trade back to 8 with Atlanta because you know who Atlanta's going to take, and you know that's fine. But to me, I look at 8 guys in this draft. Some people include 9. Some people maybe have less. But to me, there are 8 elite players. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, and Dallas Turner. And at none of those positions do the Titans have what I would consider a foundational player. But Jared, this team needs depth. This team needs stars. This team needs stars, and they need stars at important positions. I was thinking about this in my head. How many elite players do the Tennessee Titans have? I mean elite, top of the league players. I'd argue 1. L'Jarius Sneed, and he has bad knees. That's the one guy. To me, Simmons has got a step to go. He's not Chris Jones. He wasn't what Aaron Donald was. He wasn't those guys. He's good, but he doesn't wreck the game the way that those other guys do. So to me, it's 1. Sneed. A legitimate, foundational player at a premium position who is elite right now and in their prime. And so, where I sit with the draft 1 week from tonight, all I'm asking for is that the Titans make a pick that makes at least a modicum of sense and brings back a foundational player at a premium position. And I will say that Simmons is a foundational player on this team. I just don't think he's top of the top in the NFL. Like, I don't think he's a top 5 defensive lineman in the NFL. But as far as foundational players, guys that are in their prime, that will be on this team 4 years from now, you've got 2 bona fide good ones. Simmons and Sneed. And in the case of Simmons, he's probably 1 tick from being great. And in the case of Sneed, he is great, but he's got the knees. So if you want to take Joe Alt, and I like Joe Alt, you want to take Joe Alt, do it. Because that is a foundational pillar player at a premium position that you can take and you can put him on your team, and as an elite prospect, you can develop him into an elite player. You want to take Dallas Turner? Do it. If your scouts are telling you they think Dallas Turner is the next Javon Kearse, you do it. Mark Dominic has his pants down for Brock Bowers. I'm fine with that. Again, Rand Carthon said at the combine, we got to get some guys to put the ball in the paint. I watched Brock Bowers at Georgia. He puts the ball in the paint. All these other guys are okay players. Like, Ridley's a good player. He's not an elite player. And he's 29 years old. And when it comes back to the bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, at some point it has to stop. Even the moves they made this offseason, now I think Cushenberry was a solid decision, but even the moves they made this offseason were questioned, right? Mike Sando had that piece in The Athletic where they called the Calvin Ridley deal bad business. And an unnamed league executive said the Titans didn't have a plan. Well, instead of taking a player and having to have a press conference where you can't tell us what position the guy's going to play like they did last year, or having a press conference where you have to tell the media, please, media, be positive on these picks we made. Can we just make the simple choice this year? Can we just take one of the elite players in this draft and draft them? If you draft Brock Bowers, for instance, with the 7th overall pick, is there really any question as to what you see in him? You know what you saw in him. The guy's freaking good. That's what. He's a matchup nightmare. He can catch a football. He can run with the ball in his hands. He was an elite player in the SEC. There's not a lot of question there. Can they do that this year? Can they finally get some players that I call the players that you can't trade for? Nobody's trading Josh Allen. Nobody's trading Mahomes. You can't get Joe Burrow right now. You can't get Ja'Marr Chase. Those are the players that are so good that teams are not interested in trading. You pick up the phone and say, I'd like to talk Ja'Marr Chase, and the phone gets, you know, immediately gets hung up. You don't have any of those players. Again, the best player on your team, you traded for with a 3rd-round pick in next year's draft. So can we make the simple choice and not have to outthink the room and not have to explain to everybody this super secret reasoning that nobody else understands but me? Can we pass on that? Can we just draft a good player this year? That's where we're starting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025, TD at 3 o'clock. And then the Predators playoff preview show right here on 102.5 The Game at 4 o'clock. We kick it off with Roman Josi. Coming up next, I like Joe Alt. I want Joe Alt. But I was surprised by something Bill Polian said, even though I think he'd be on board with Joe Alt at 7. And we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, that's 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in today. Hey, this week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card is only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville.
If you have a chance to draft a left tackle in the top 10, by all means, take it. They play the longest. They play at a high rate for a long time. We haven't talked about a high rate of blue production. But think about it this way when you consider all positions. The average number of blue years for Hall of Famers, excluding quarterbacks and wide receivers. So the best of the best of the best. The average number of blue years is 6. So that means that the guy you're drafting, even in the top 10, unless he's a quarterback or you hit on a wide receiver, you're probably going to get 6 blue years from him. So that's a tremendous buy, particularly if you're getting either a left or right tackle. In this day and age, both tackles are the same. They have to pass protection.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So there's no real distinction.
There you go, that was Bill Polian talking about, hey, left tackle, that's a big deal. By the way, am I crazy in this? When he keeps talking about blue years, like, I don't know specifically, like, is it crazy that I've never heard that term before, but I think I know exactly what he's talking about?
I never really quite heard it like that before.
But you know what he's talking about too, like, right?
Blue chip years?
Yeah, like the, you know, the best of the best of the best years of their career. So like right now, Simmons would be in his blue years, Snead would be in his blue years, and Ridley might be coming down off the blue years a little bit. Spears should be hitting his blue years, so on and so forth. So he tells you right there, hey, you know, if you can get blue years out of one of these tackles, that's good. But I was shocked listening to Polian. Again, that was SiriusXM NFL Radio. I was shocked listening to Polian, a Hall of Fame general manager, for those of you in the text line that are sure to bitch about Bill Polian's credentials. But I was shocked when he was talking about what teams in the top 10 look for and how many things he puts ahead of left tackle. Here's what Polian said.
Well, as a GM, you go through a process. When you're in the top 10, you want to pick one of the following. A quarterback, if he merits it, if he can lead you to the promised land. Two, someone who scores touchdowns, a running back, a wide receiver, somebody who can carry your team. Three, a person who can dominate the game on the defensive line of scrimmage. And that would include an edge rusher and a 3-4. Four, a guy who turns the ball over in the secondary, meaning a dominant corner who's got ball skills. And then five, if all else fails, a left tackle, if one who is there who you can anticipate will be a blue player throughout his career.
Okay. I mean, that's a little surprising to me from this standpoint. Left tackles are really important. But Polian saying, hey, quarterback number one, touchdown scorers number two, which does go in line with the Brian Callahan elite touchdown scorer as opposed to elite non-touchdown scorer. Sacker three, interceptor four, tackle five. And all I ever hear about is people that say like, oh, Jared, this team has so many holes, I don't even know where to start. Well, if this team has so many holes, then are we for sure that it's a good idea to start at tackle? So when it comes to the elite eight players, and I'm just asking a question here because I'm not telling you that I wouldn't draft Joe Alt, because I do think they're going to draft Joe Alt, and I am not going to complain if they end up drafting Joe Alt. But of those elite eight players, at least two of them are going to be available, right? Maybe three if J.J. McCarthy or Roma Dunze pops into the top six. And it's like, okay, if you have your choice between Alt or Neighbors, we've talked a lot on this show, and everybody here has said Alt. And yet at the same time, it's like, well, but Polian has touchdown scorer significantly ahead of left tackle. And I know who the touchdown scorers were on Bill Polian's Colts teams, right? Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James, Dallas Clark. Who was their left tackle all those years? I think it was Tarik Glenn. But I might be wrong about that. But how many of you guys know who Tarik Glenn is? And I get it, that offensive line's not as sexy as of a position as wide receiver. And it's still important. But it is at least something worth discussing, because it's not like the Titans don't have a need at pass rusher. I think they absolutely have a need at pass rusher. Arden Key is a Band-Aid. I mean, if Dallas Turner is Lawrence Taylor, you draft Dallas Turner. So it just makes me think that where the Titans sit, yes, I want Joe Alt. Yes, I think Joe Alt is a quote-unquote blue player, as Bill Polian is referencing. But he's got left tackle as the last thing on the list of, you know, if you don't have a blue player at these positions, this is where you have to go. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alan Smyrna says, I hope the Titans make a dumb pick at seven. Then you will have something to bitch and moan about for another year. Let me say this. If the Titans make a bad pick at seven, I have been thinking about this in my head. What would be something that would have me go insane on draft night? Brock Bowers at seven wouldn't make me go crazy. Malik Neighbors would not make me go crazy at seven. Dallas Turner would not make me go crazy. So, like, it would have to be something like that Pro Football Focus mock draft we talked about yesterday, Talis Fuwaga with the 7. I'll go nuts about something like that. Olu Fashanu at 7. I'll go nuts about something like that. But it's almost inconceivable that the Titans would do that, right? It has to be at this point. We know who the elite players in this draft, supposedly. We know who the elite players in this draft are. And you're going to be in a spot where you're picking an elite player. At least going back to last year, it does kind of feel like there was a fall off after kind of the first 6 or so picks. But in this draft, you're at 7. I think there's probably 8. So I think it's just, I mean, to me, I feel great about it. About them picking one of these and me on draft night not going crazy. In fact, I'm making a prediction right now. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I'm making a prediction. 1 week from tonight at Twin Peaks in Madison for the draft show with Derek, Chris, and Trevor, when the Tennessee Titans pick at 7, I will not go ballistic. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I am making that prediction right now. Because I think there are too many good players at premium positions, and there's no way the Titans are going to do something stupid like they did last year. One texter says, all that negative stuff you were talking about was Vrabel and J-Rob. No. J-Rob had nothing to do with the guard that you took with the 11th overall pick last year. Hide and watch, says the texter. Ran and Callahan aren't going to do stupid stuff in this draft. No meltdown coming this year unless you manufacture it for ratings, says the texter. Guys, I think I would have been a pretty good actor. Maybe a step below James Gandolfini if I had ventured into acting.
Maybe just a step.
Just a step. I don't think I can manufacture the kind of outrage that I have had on draft night over the years. Ian, you know me as well as anybody. You think any of that stuff's manufactured?
No, I don't think so.
It's not. So they'd have to do stupid stuff in order for that to be an issue. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your phones here on the program. And we do have to talk about that just ridiculous, and I love them, I do, but ridiculous trade that Willie Donick and Derek Mason and Nick Frazier want to accept. Poor Caroline today. We got to get to this. We'll do that coming up next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my friends. They are the best. That's right. Hey, Hiller's been taking great care of my home for years. They can do the exact same for you. Smile and save this month with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, because from now until April 30th, you can take advantage of big savings on home systems. That's right. Enjoy up to $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration and descalers, or select new whole home generators. If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade or replace your systems, now is the time. That's right, it's very easy. Just go to happyhiller.com today for details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
A trade back with the Bills. The Bills would get the 7th overall pick. You would get the 28th overall pick, in addition to a 2nd round pick, number 60 overall, a 3rd round pick, and a 2025 first round pick. Would you do it?
Ooh, an extra first?
Next year.
Ooh.
To move down to 28?
I'm out.
I'm in. I love it.
Why?
That's a slam dunk.
It's a slam dunk.
Absolutely.
I think 7's a slam dunk.
That may be a layup, Willie.
No, that's a slam dunk.
I don't think that's a three-pointer.
I'm running to take that. I'm saying you're crazy for offering me that. Yes, I'm taking
crazy
it.
Crazy for offering that?
100%. That's way too much to give up if you're Buffalo. That's a we're all in for this year kind of move, Buffalo, which is fine for them because they are. The Titans are in the long game. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of holes to fix. Only way to fix it is with picks. I'm in.
You know, I think Willie Donick, the radio host and play-by-play broadcaster, does a fine job. Willie Donick, the general manager, should be fired. I mean, goodness gracious. That trade. So again, if I'm hearing this correctly, this was and I listened to the whole thing today, listened to the midday show. I want to see how many text messages I sent Caroline as that was all going down, because I could not believe my ears at what they wanted to take in exchange. Let's see. I sent Caroline 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 text messages, because I was outraged by that trade idea. So what was crazy was I'm listening to Willie do this and talk about like, oh, this is a slam dunk. And so I went to the draft chart website. I think it's called Draft Tech. I go to the draft chart website and you can literally put in each team's name and it highlights each team's pick and the corresponding value. And then it says what their entire draft value in that year is at any given time. Buffalo's entire draft this year is worth 1,150 points. 7 is worth 1,500 points. It is not even close. That is not even remotely a fair trade. I mean, think about this. 7 represents, in this draft, an elite player. I mean, in most drafts, Joe Alt is not available at 7. But because there are going to be 3 or 4 quarterbacks that go, it pushes the elite players down, right? Trey Lance goes at 3, Penei Sewell ends up at 6. If you were in a draft the year later where there were no quarterbacks, then all of a sudden, Penei Sewell probably goes number 1 overall. So you had to keep that in mind. This, in this year's draft, 7 represents an elite player. 28 does not even represent a day one starter. Think about that. Not even a day one starter. 60 is the last acceptable blue chip pick, because that, you know, Mark Dominic has said, look at the top 60 picks. If you get outside of 60, those guys are terrible. So I'm supposed to take 60? And then I'm going to get Buffalo's number 1 next year, which is going to be 27th overall. That's a terrible trade. That is a terrible trade. I mean, again, depth is important in the NFL. But the reason why the Buffalo Bills are good, it's not because of depth. It's because they have Josh Allen. Guess where they drafted Josh Allen? 7th. Like, that's why they have a good team. Kansas City, I think, is the definition of this. Kansas City has a giant hole at left tackle. Last year, they took a bargain basement, you know, hanging on by a thread veteran to play left tackle last year. Chris Jones didn't even play in the first game. But because they've got about 5 really, really good players led by their quarterback, they're competing for the Super Bowl. They don't have any receivers. Their running back was taken in the 7th round. They could replace him tomorrow. Like, that's Kansas City's team. Kansas City is Mahomes, Jones, Kelsey, it was Snead, McDuffie, and I think that's about it. Like, that's Humphrey, the center's pretty good too. Like, that's it. And so if you've got elite players, the rest, you can buy some of those things. You can get them in free agency. You can get them in the 3rd round of future drafts. But elite, you take that at 6 overall. I remember when the Titans were getting ready to play the Bengals in the playoffs. And Vrabel was asked a question, and the question was something along the lines of, you know, how did Cincinnati, like, what do you make of how Cincinnati has rebuilt themselves with Burrow and Chase? And Vrabel, because, you know, Vrabel sometimes can't help himself, could not make the smart-ass, not have the smart-ass response of saying, well, one was the first pick in the draft, the other was the 5th pick in the draft. It's like, yeah, that's why you get to take those players. Now, thank God that the Titans will never make that trade. And I know the Titans won't make that trade because Brian Callahan, when he was in Cincinnati, talked at length about how important it is to have those picks, to use them while you can, because once you get good, you never get picks like that again. He's like, we'll never have another chance at a Jamar Chase because we won't ever have that pick. So I know Brian Callahan understands that, which means Brian Callahan's not going to make this stupid trade. Slam dunk. Seriously? Like the trade the Titans made with the Rams, where they moved from 1 to 15. This isn't moving from 7 to 28. 15, you can still get a day one starter. And the Titans didn't even use the 15th pick because they traded up to get to 8, I believe, in order to take Jack Conklin. But that trade included 15, which is a, again, top 15 pick, but a top 60 pick. 15, 2 second-rounders in the 40s, I believe 43 and 45, 45 of which was Derrick Henry. A third rounder, which is not as valuable, which ended up being Jonnu Smith. And another first. I mean, we're talking about 4 top 60 picks right there, one of which ended up being the 5th overall pick, the 5th, the 15th, and then the 43rd and 45th. And Willie wants 28, 60, and 28 again next year. Crazy talk. Woo! One texter in the text line says, would you go nuts if the Titans draft Roma Dunze at 7? No. Another texter says, bet money you go crazy about the second round pick and the 4th round pick. So here's the thing about that. I think it's pretty likely the Predators are going to be playing on that Friday night, so we probably won't have a Friday night draft show. If I had to guess. Which, honestly, like a playoff hockey game is more important to me than the second and third rounds of the draft. But that being said, we'll see. You know, I mean, I didn't say that the Dylan Raidens trade was a bad pick when it was made, even though I went crazy. I said that I was just like, I've never heard of this guy before. Like, I think that was my response, was that I had never heard of that guy. If they take a guy that I've never heard of at 38, I'll probably have an issue with it. But I feel like I've heard enough of these guys that when they take Ricky Pearsall, I'll be like, yeah, I know who that is. Or something like that. Skyler says, what would make the proposed trade with the Bills worth it to you? You're good at knowing the worth of these picks. Here's what it would take. If Buffalo really wanted the 7th pick, and let's say that Roma Dunze is the target. Harrison's gone. Neighbors is gone. Buffalo is saying, we want one of the top three. We want one of the top three, period. So that's what we're going to do. We got to have one of the top three receivers. Adunze is there. We'll make it. Here's what Buffalo has to do. Buffalo has to give me their first rounder this year, their first rounder next year, their second rounder this year, their second rounder next year, and the second rounder that they have that is Minnesota's. And I might honestly want an extra third round pick next year to make up for the Snead. I may actually want that too. I mean, even then I have reservations about that trade. I really do. You want to make that move? We may have to talk about Deion Dawkins and Dalton Kincaid as part of the package. One of the two. And so then I throw that out there and you're probably going to hear that and say, well, they're never going to make that trade. Of course, that's the point. Like, if you want this pick that bad, I mean, I looked it up today, and I saw, like, the trade that Houston made with Arizona in order to move up last year to get Will Anderson was 12, next year's 1, and 35. And that's to move from 12 to 3. Like, that is the kind of, I mean, again, none of these picks you're getting from Buffalo are going to be inside of the top 20. So you got to give me more. And you got to give me a lot. And they all have to be top 60 picks outside of if I want a little sweetener there or a guy like Dalton Kincaid. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your phones on this. 615-737-1025 here on the program. So everybody got mad about that Drake May, Will Levis discussion that we had on the program earlier this week. And there was a little nugget that was dropped today that I actually think would make the ability to trade Will Levis, if an elite prospect like Drake May was to fall in your lap, that would actually make it possible. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park. Pregame is at 6:20. First pitch is at 6:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And I should note that Vandy Baseball has been moved up. So Vandy Baseball is going to play at 5 o'clock today against Florida. Pre-game will start at 4:45 on 94.9 The Fan, and then it will switch over to 102.5 The Game when we get off the air at 6 o'clock. And Vandy Baseball is brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.
Do you run the risk of passing on the next Patrick Mahomes? Yes. But you can't draft, no matter what everybody says, you can't draft quarterback 3 years in a row when you have trading up twice, when you're in desperation for other positions that any quarterback is going to need, be it Drake May or Will Levis. You have to get a left tackle. You have to get a wide receiver. You have to get an edge rusher. You have to get all these other things. And it's ridiculous to think, well, we'll just take another quarterback who's not a sure thing. You have to cycle.
Unless you're, well, I agree with you, unless you are, believe he's a sure thing.
Right. And then Caroline said, well, then you trade Levis. I mean, she falls into this thing like, well, everybody wants the guy that you no longer want. I mean, so you turn the guy that you traded for big resources. You spend a second. You traded, I don't remember what, your second and this year's third. And you trade him for a fourth or a fifth. Nobody's interested in Will Levis anymore. They've moved on to this year's quarterback class.
Okay, that was PK yesterday yelling and screaming about, again, just the hypothetical situation of if Drake May were to fall, and I said I'd take him at 7, and I didn't even think that was a big deal. When I said it, like when people, I think it was Monday, somebody called in and brought that up. And I said, well, if May's there, I would take him. And people got all mad. And then the next day, everybody got mad when we talked about it for 3 hours. And then, you know, PK got mad the next day after that. So, in theory, I agree with the idea that if you draft May, you're probably not going to get a full dollar value return for Will Levis. But then Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rex Road today, and he was asked about the Giants and whether the Giants could take Joe Alt and if the Giants are really in play for J.J. McCarthy. And Charles brought up the fact that teams like the Giants that probably don't love their quarterback have got to think about next year's quarterback class. And apparently, according to Charles, next year's quarterback class isn't very good.
Another thing you have to consider about the quarterback, and do you take it? You're not taking them next year, okay? Next year's class, at least right now, and I know other people will surface over the course of a college football season, but you're not feeling great about what the quarterback class looks like next year. Very poor. Like, I was doing a running backs piece this year, literally in the last 48 hours, putting it together about how, you know, just poor the running backs position is from the star standpoint, like the one that you're taking to define the class. And I had an evaluator said to me, he's like, hey, this is the ebb and flow. Just wait until we get to the quarterbacks next year, because it's going to be like the Kenny Pickett year where you're like, is there a first round quarterback in this group? And if so, where do they get taken? And you're not going to feel great about that. So if you're in the market for the quarterback, you're kind of looking in a 2 year window instead of a 1 year window.
Okay. Which now takes me to Levis, which is, I believe that if the quarterbacks go, right, and the only way that May would get to the Titans at 7 in this hypothetical situation is if the Patriots go McCarthy, which a lot of people seem to think the Patriots might go McCarthy over May, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But that's my opinion, and their opinion might be different. If that's the case, all four quarterbacks are gone. If the quarterback class next year is as bad as the 22 quarterback class, which was Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Sam Howell, Bailey Zappi, I feel like I'm leaving some other, Matt Corral. I mean, that was that. If this quarterback class is that bad, and I think it's Quinn Ewers and Shedeur Sanders, and, you know, maybe there'll be a guy like Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels that comes out and just goes crazy, and it's like, okay, that guy's towards the top of the draft. But as of right now, if you were to take Drake May at 7, and you were to turn around and call one of these teams that's going to get left out, that is probably looking for a quarterback, like Denver, like the Raiders, like New Orleans, if you were to call one of these teams, Seattle, that doesn't have a young quarterback, you know, right there that they can say this quarterback could be part of our future, if there are all of those teams that are there and the quarterbacks are bad next year, I could see a team saying, hey, we'll deal next year's second in order to make this move. And I use Denver as the example. Let's say they're all gone. So Denver at 12 has to pick Michael Penix Jr., and that's if Minnesota doesn't take Penix at 11. Well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Will Levis and a player with that 11th pick, or would you rather have Michael Penix and next year's second? And my gut tells me I'd rather have, and I hate doing this where people say, oh, well, just trade with them and they'll do that. It's like, you don't know if they'll do that, but I'm trying to put myself in the Broncos' shoes, and I think the Broncos would do that. Because I think it's, if I can get the 11th pick in this year's draft, which could be Roma Dunze, or the 12th pick, which probably won't be Brock Bowers or Roma Dunze, but it could. But it certainly could be Olu Fashanu. It certainly could be, you know, that kind of prospect. I can get that player, and I have the quarterback in Levis, or I have a quarterback in Levis, as opposed to Jarrett Stidham, and I don't have to use that pick on Michael Penix, and I'm not giving up anything this year because I'm giving up next year's second. I think you do that. And so I do think that the class of next year being so bad, I think does actually, you know, makes me think that it makes me feel good about the fact that if that were to happen, that PK, oh, no one's going to be interested in Levis, there may not be any quarterbacks next year for anybody to be interested in. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot of you are just going crazy about Willie Donick's trade with Buffalo, and that does make me smile inside. I mean, I love Willie, but Willie, what you thinking about, babe? All right, TD is coming up next. We got the TD Power Hour. Then we got the Preds playoff preview show at 4 o'clock where Roman Josi will join us to start. Andrew Burnett will join us at 4:30. We're loaded on that as well. TD's up next here on Stillman & Company. 615-737-1025 will hit the phones as we always do at the end of the hour. Hey, join the Nashville Super Speedway in the city of Lebanon for a Speedway on the Square this Saturday, April 20th from 1 to 6 in downtown Lebanon. Stop by and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art, live music, and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400. And also, yes, that's that. So enjoy. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.